In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to the chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. He started with this scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came upon the water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read from Psalms. Congregation, please read the bold print. "From you comes my praise in this great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, 'The Lord has acted.'" A reading from 1 John. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify to the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
To St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my very Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Of the Lord has triumphed.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What prevents anyone from being fully welcomed into the church? Because to be honest, the scriptures and the history of the church are not always clear on the matter. Now, standards and boundaries are normal for any group of that we want to be a part of. There might be fees, there might be dues, an adherence to a policy, a dress code, a uniform. This exists everywhere in our society. It's not unique to the church. But sometimes people are either in or out, whether it be our own choosing or the gatekeeping by members of the institution. But what about those on the margins that long to belong? They can identify with the Ethiopian eunuch in our lesson from Acts today, because as they are reading from Isaiah, they wonder who it's about. Though he has the benefits of serving on Candace's court, in our day we would probably classify them as a sexual minority. They were marginalized and stigmatized in both Gentile and Jewish society. The eunuch is reading from Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken from the transgression of my people. But as Philip evangelizes and catechizes the Ethiopian eunuch, we know that Philip pointed the eunuch to Jesus. The eunuch is not prevented from belonging to the kingdom. He can be washed anew and received as someone previously on the margins of society to now being fully included into the family of God. Now, boundaries and standards, certainly not bad things, communicates what we are about. It's honest to people in what we're inviting them to be a part of. When we say, though, that God is love, it does not mean then that anything goes, as we heard in 1 John chapter 4. However, we do need to understand the distinction between having healthy boundaries as opposed to putting up walls that serve as barriers that keep those who long to know God, long to know the God who is love, from being included and embraced in the life of the church. For the kingdom of God is for them. Now, like I said, the scriptures at times can be debated about various things. Just looking at the eunuch here. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, it says, "No one who's a eunuch," I'll spare you the language, "but no one who's a eunuch shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord." Eunuchs were cut off from the community of faith. But then there are passages like this in Isaiah chapter 56, 4-5. "For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." And in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, "On that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that is left to his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Ethiopia, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea." We know that exclusion and inclusion using the scriptures can be justified. Perhaps not all that different from how American Christians use the Bible to both justify slavery and call for its abolishment. how Christians have wrestled with how divorced persons are to be included and engaged in the life of the church, how debates about human sexuality continue to be had throughout Christian denominations in our society today. But whenever Christians discern divisive issues of their day, we must ask the question about what is ultimately driving us. Even if we don't agree with fellow Christians, even if we don't understand, our understanding of God is love. And it comes from us abiding in Jesus Christ. As we heard in our first lesson, as we heard in our lesson from 1 John, in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Before we turn our disagreement to violence, and when I say violence, I mean the dehumanizing of others, we must be convicted by 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And that love is that atoning sacrifice that we see on the cross in Jesus Christ. Now, I've heard many people who have left Christianity or have never belonged to the church that will say, there is no hate like Christian love. There is no hate like Christian love. What do they mean by that? What they mean by that is that too many Christians have justified hateful actions towards others in the name of love. And we have lost our ability to discern, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as we heard in our gospel lesson, is our ministry, are our actions, is our witness bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit in the one who abides in us and we abide in him? As we also heard in 1 John, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Now, Philip takes the scriptures and points the eunuch to Jesus. He points the eunuch to the one who died on the cross, the one who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But far too often in our society today, people use the scriptures as a weapon. They use it for power and control of others. They might use words like love, but it does not point to the crucified and risen Christ. It points to agendas that seek power and control, and it is in contrast to Jesus. It is in opposition to the Christ who liberates us, who shows us love and life, who gives us love and life through the cross. Too many people also make faith about us choosing and claiming God, as opposed to God claiming and choosing us. What prevents us from being fully included in the life of the church? God is always seeking us, right? God is always coming to us. One of my favorite verses is right here in our lesson today from 1 John. We love because he first loved us. It's not my choosing. It's God choosing. We love because he first loved us. Lutheran Christians and others who baptize infants have been criticized for baptizing infants, right? You've probably heard the arguments in opposition. How can that child choose? How do they know what's going on? They don't understand what's going on. And I always say, well, that's the point. That's the point. God chooses us. You don't have to burden yourself with wondering, did I have enough faith in my baptism? Was there enough water? And don't worry, I always use enough water. If you're ever worried. But it doesn't matter as Lutheran Christians, right? It could be a tiny drop of water, or it could be an immersion in a river, right? It's God's word and God's promise attached to that water that says you are claimed, that says I am claiming you, I am coming to you. It's God choosing us. We love because he first loved us. This is grace. It's giving us what we do not deserve and always humbling us to know how others are welcome and included in God's kingdom. because we are welcomed and included in God's kingdom by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we are made worthy to take part in this kingdom. And God says, you have a place here forever. There's freedom and liberation in knowing that once Philip pointed the eunuch to Jesus, that there is nothing to prevent him from being fully included. Through that evangelism and that catechesis, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? It's about what God does for us in Jesus Christ. Now, many years ago, I shared this. It's an option that the Presbyterian USA has in their baptismal liturgy, which is a variation of the French Reformed baptism liturgy. But imagine an infant about to be baptized, and you hear this. For you, little one, the Spirit of God moved over the waters at creation, and the Lord God made covenants with his people. It was for you that the Word of God became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. For you, little one, Jesus Christ suffered death, crying out at the end, "It is finished." For you, Christ triumphed over death, rose in newness of life, and ascended to rule over all. All of this was done for you, little one, though you do not know any of this yet. But we will continue to tell you this good news until it becomes your own. And so the promise of the gospel is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. And I think that beautifully ties together our lessons for today. When Philip asks if they understand the scriptures that they're reading, the eunuch says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" That we're to take seriously the ministry of the church, that when we come together in community, we guide each other, young and old, in the scriptures. But what do? Do we point to agendas? Or do we point to Jesus? We point to Jesus. We guide each other along the way in our faith, pointing to the crucified and risen Christ in our midst, pointing to the perfect love poured out for us on the cross. It's also a reminder to be humble in knowing that it's not our work or our faith or our love, but it is the love of God that abides in us that makes all of it possible. Beloved children of God, may our boundaries keep us safe. May our boundaries center us in the love of Jesus. But may those walls that our sinfulness builds up be torn down, so that all may know the liberating, radically inclusive love of Jesus. And may we always give thanks for the one who abides in us, and whose everlasting love welcomes us and promises to never let us go. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Jesus.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. We pray for the church around the world, for all ministers, and all for the mission of the gospel. Keep all the newly baptized and confirmed in your care. Cleanse our hearts with your word and help us abide in you always. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For the well-being of the earth and all created things, renew the face of the earth and shower us with your goodness. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For all nations and all those in authority, for local, state, and national leaders, for elected representatives at every level, and for international organizations, that justice and peace may reign. God of grace, for all those in need, for any experiencing homelessness or unemployment, for those fleeing from oppression or seeking asylum, and for those who are ill or suffering, especially Justin, Susie, Scott, Connie, John, Dan, Eileen, Pat, Michelle, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Claire Ellen, Scott, Bill, Jeff, the family of Roger Stepp, Thomas, Jim, and our homebound. God of grace, for this congregation, for the caring ministries of this faith community, especially our Stephen ministry, for all who visit and minister to one another, for all who take communion to homes or care centers, and for all who seek to share your love with the world, God of grace, with thanksgiving for the saints who rest from their labors, help us, like them, to bear much fruit and to become your disciples, and at last bring us to your heavenly banquet where all will feast together at your table. God of grace.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love, through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share one other sign of God's peace.
Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, But we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Give you thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your Word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your Word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to a death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them.
Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him.
You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous by method of intinction. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. We'll have two chalices, two stations with consecrated wine. Grape juice will be on the lectern side. You'll take the host and dip it into the chalice of your choice. An usher will release you forward. For those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament or participating in children's church, you may come forward at this time. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Thank you. Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love.
In the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.